You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
5 minutes before 11. Where have all Abelungu gone? That is a question that was posed by DA leader Maka Shule Gana, who joins me in the studio. Lovely to see you again. It's been a while since we chatted. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Eusebius, and good morning to the 702 listeners. It's good to come to the studio again.
And ever the nerd, he's particularly good at numbers, but as a politician he has to write, he's coming here with plenty of notes, eh? Lots of notes there. I wonder what those crypt notes are. Joining us on the line is ENCA specialist journalist Karen Morn. How's it, Karen? Let's give Karen a voice, man. Ah, let's see. Let's try again. Hello, Karen. She's not there.
You see me?
There you are.
Yay.
Hey, live broadcasting, eh? It's got no respect.
It's tough on these streets.
I thought you were taking a vow of silence there, being part of Abelungu.
No, I was a bit worried that I would be a spokesperson for the Abelungu. That's been my greatest fear. But yes,
you were. But you were used as a, how do we put it in column writing? You were used as the news hook that was the basis of Makashule's column. Before I speak to him, I want to ask you this question that was attributed to you. They didn't know you were fluent in the languages of the land beyond English. Bapi Abelungu, is that something you've been wondering about DA marches?
Well, the story behind that is actually quite funny, because what had happened was my colleague Zikona Chona was covering this DA march to the Gupta home, and there were a series of hilarious photos taken of her with quite, you know, sort of quite expressive facial expressions. And Clement Maniatela had tweeted that, you know, she'd wanted to ask, you know, she was asking Musimaya Mani what was going on. And then I said in response to that, Bapi Abelungu, like that's what she really wanted to ask. And then that sort of transmogrified into a debate about Abelungu in the DA. But it actually started as a bit of a tongue-in-cheek comment.
Well, it was taken very seriously by Maka Shule, and obviously it caught our attention because you are always very careful as one of the craftiest DA strategists about when you speak, what you say when you speak, and where you choose to speak, Maka Shule. But I will, in the spirit of the frank professional relationship you and I have, tell you my impressions as a citizen of this particular column. It sounded to me like you wanted to be woke, but not really. You wanted to ask an awkward question and kind of like say, let's have a frank conversation about white supporters of the DA. And then you do that thing that I hated when people do it in columns. They say, we must talk about these things. And then, you know, I asked you one or two awkward tweets and I said, well, what is your answer to your own question? And you said, well, it's an uncomfortable question. We must have the conversation. So what is your actual answer to it? I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about it, because it's a day of breaking news. And JZ is not waiting until after midnight, orally.
702 and Cape Talk.
I know both Karen and Maka Shule, all they want to do is talk politics now, ne?
Absolutely.
You probably want to run, check your phone. I'm busy WhatsApping my contacts here. It's like, what's going on there? I wonder how Blade is feeling. But let's try and focus on the issue at hand. Maka Shule.
Yes,
you see. Why did you raise this question? And what is the true answer to the question? Because you were speaking in tongues, man.
I did not raise the question, Eusebius. The question was raised, and the question has been raised for a number of years now. It was not the first time that the question was raised. And on this particular day, it just hit me. It hit me that I've been avoiding the question. I haven't been engaging with the question in an honest way. And there are many possible answers to the question that Karen had raised, you know. So I tried to basically go in with a conversation, because I do not believe that there's one single answer to that question. And in the interactions that one had, there are a number of responses to that particular question. So, and that's something that I wanted to achieve with the piece that I wrote.
There are two issues here that I wanted to ask you follow-up questions on beyond the column.
Yes.
The first is a factual one. You are an empirical animal. You like facts. Is it true that white people are missing from DA marches?
It's true to a large extent, you know, especially the marches that...
To a large extent, what does that mean? That's like saying I'm not really pregnant, just a little bit.
No, Eusebius.
It's either true or false, Mas.
It's not either true or false.
Okay.
Yes, you know, because it's not like one sits there and then count the number of whites that are there. And that's something that I raise as well, that, you know, when one was asked this question in the past, one would check to say, hey, let me check in the photos that one took. Maybe I'll find some whites who were there and then send it as a response to say, oh, you were asking where are the whites, you know, and then I say, no, these are the whites. But then I think the question goes, as I say, it goes deeper than that. It speaks to the kind of DA that people want to see, you know, and that's why the question is asked to us and it's never asked to the EFF or the ANC or COSATU. But it's asked.
But on that empirical question, do an adequate number of DA supporters go on political marches, especially ones that are organized by the DA?
In many respects, the crowd that comes to our marches, it's not as diverse as one would like.
Are there enough white people who come to your marches?
There have been marches where the whites came, but
are there enough white people who come to your marches?
Eusebius, I'm responding to your question.
No, you're not. And you're not going to play language games with me. I know you are smart.
My question
is not whether you have spotted a white person at a march. My
yes.
question is a quantitative one. Does an adult, in your personal opinion, as a senior and a very important DA leader,
yes.
is there a sufficient number of white DA supporters that come to your marches?
I would like to see more of them.
So like there's not enough, or you just want to see excellence?
From where I am, I would like to see more of them. Because the thing is, CBS, and, you know, I look back and say, if one looks at the impactful marches that we've had in this country, it's the marches that we have the diversity of the country being out there. You know, if one thinks to the Zuma Must Fall march, the reason it was impactful, it was that it was all South Africans coming to the party, you know, coming in, showing their unhappiness with the state president. But then if one looks at the other matches that we've had, that kind of diversity was not showcased. And that's something that I'm saying, as a party, we need to do more. It's almost a deliberate action that we have to take to ensure that our matches represent the diversity that South Africa has to offer.
Karen, I know you don't work for Africa Check, but you know what? I mean, some people who don't listen carefully don't think that I'm always, you know, sufficiently kind towards white citizens. But you know that some of my best friends like you are white. I actually thought, and I'm not doing this just to play devil's advocate or because Makashula can handle hard questions, I actually thought that he was unfair on white supporters of the DA, because white people are a very small percentage of this country, and there has been a change over the last year or three in the optics of marches, not necessarily the ones that are not organized by the DA, but the DA marches in especially. And we see increasingly, yes, it's off a small base, but an upward trajectory in the number of Tunnies who are willing to go, Zuma Must Fall, Zuma Must Fall. So on that question, the empirical question, before we get into the sort of like questions of identity, do you think that Makashula is onto something?
Look, you know, I think that there's a sort of profound self-consciousness amongst white people demonstrating some kind of political ideology. And I think that's because we live in an age where, thank God, we are having the most profound interrogation of issues, difficult issues like white privilege, where we come from, the fact that a certain hegemonic view, which has been forced on everyone, that is very, very white, very competitive, individualistic, very social Darwinist, very me, has its birthplace in this idea of white privilege. And I think that it's very difficult for a lot of white people. I think that people get very defensive. And then what you saw, which was so interesting, is in the aftermath of the you know, state capture Zuma Must Fall marches, was this quite profound pushback on social media about why were you not taking part in Fees Must Fall? Why are you not part of that? And I think that I sometimes suspect that a lot of this kind of reluctance of whites to affiliate themselves with particularly any particular party, but potentially even the DA, openly so. They'll happily vote for them behind closed curtains, but they don't want to necessarily be seen to align themselves with the party of Helen Zille, for example, is that they don't want to face the level of interrogation that they will face if they are aligning themselves to a particular interest because of this kind of, you know, questioning that we have of privilege. So I think he is onto something. And I, for me, it's not an issue of going on marches or not going on marches. It's really an issue of how involved white citizens of this country are in really substantively addressing issues of privilege, issues of racism, and massive social inequality within our society, which I perceive to be the greatest threat that this country faces.
Okay, and that's fair enough. It sets us up nicely in the rest of this hour to talk about the substantive issue. Let's get away from the number counting. How do you see it if you are a DA supporter? Is this an honest self-interrogation that is praiseworthy? It's very hard in politics to be as blunt as journalists and commentators and talk shows can be because you have to make calculations that we don't have to make. So maybe you think that what Ghana is doing is important here. It's not just trying to have 15 minutes of infamy. 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town, you can engage him and Karen Morn, ENCA specialist journalist, on 021-446-0567. I'm still on that reshuffle.
702 and Cape Talk. Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
Love this tweet from my colleague Koketso Sachana from Cape Talk. Tweets, we are busy here debating exiles with Eusebius earlier and now taking on Bapi Abelungu with Makashule and with Karen. Meanwhile, sir, just exiled Dr. Blade. That's true. Oopy Blade. Well, we're going to get into that at 11:30, Koketso, with Karima Brown. And we're going to be talking about who's in, who's out, and explain some of the motive speculatively behind some of it. Let's just deal with what Karen had said, Makashule, because in all seriousness, I think Karen has really nailed it, hasn't she? That there is there's a conversation that is not a DA conversation, that is an important South African conversation about lack of empathy for people who look different to ourselves. It doesn't just happen between black and white. Mm. Also, poor blacks and rich blacks, between straight people, gay people. We're so fixated on our own immediate interest, depending on our identity traits, that we often don't do enough to really step up the plate to help others.
Yeah, I think Karen is correct, you know, in how she unpacks it, because I think this is not a DA issue, you know, it's a societal issue, you know, and the reason I took it and used the DA as a because I belong to the DA, and also the DA wants to lead society, in order to lead society, you need to have some of those uncomfortable questions about, like, she's talking about privilege around access to the economy and poverty and inequality, you know. And it needs to be a frank and honest discussion that happens within ourselves as the organization, but it's a conversation that we need to have with the society at large so that we are able to move together. Because for me, Eusebius, is that in order to build the South Africa of our desires, you know, as many South Africans aspire to, is that we really need each other. You know, I'm very committed that to say that, you know what, as a country, we are much more better together than if a section of society works on its own and then they care about their issues and then you have another section working on its own. We need to be able to say, you know what, if I go out of here and there are hungry children out there, I might be in a much more privileged position, but I need to be able to work to address that particular issue. I cannot just say, all right, because the issues of social grants do not get to me, then I will not stand up for the people who are receiving social grants. We need to be able to have issues that cut across our own individual privileges.
Absolutely. Let's take a couple of views from our listeners. Lee in Pretoria, how do you see it? We've lost Lee. Britt in Four Ways. Hello.
Hello. Yes. For me, I agree. White people at a march tends to diminish the impact of the march because But besides that, the DA being at a march is an issue for me. The way that Helen did it was dealt with after she made a disgusting statement. To me, while she is still there, literally getting a slap on the wrist for saying something that is just unacceptable. She should be up. And when she's up, the DA can then stand up and say, yes, we are against inequality. But the fact that somebody can, inside the party, can make that statement, it's mind-boggling.
Was that a deal-breaker for you, Brett?
Well, I am no longer a DA supporter. I'm whiter than anyone in the room there, and I do not support the DA. You are not representing the people that need to be represented. Helen Zille has got to be kicked out. She's not given the opportunity to resign. Go. We don't want any inkling of an idea that we've got to be grateful to the rapists of this country for leaving a railway track.
Interesting. Thanks for your view, Brett. There's an interesting tweet here, Karen. We're going to run out of time, but I thought this is an interesting issue to quickly get onto. Katina Hartmann tweets the following. She says, white people don't march or participate in rallies. We debate, canvass, and vote. That is our culture. What do you think of that, Karen?
Oh, God. I just hate those kind of generalizations about exactly what groups do. But you know what the thing is it's exactly what you're talking about. It's an empathy issue, and it's a very much in this society, it's about actually proactively showing that you are actually substantively attempting to address inequality and actually just being a participant in a democracy instead of an observer. And I think that that's part of the problem. I mean, one of the most profound critiques of whiteness is that people observed for 53 years while people were made to carry passes, people, and then substantively after the fact, and I mean, I think you're very kind on this issue, sort of said, well, we didn't know, etc. But you can't, you know, the issue is really about, I don't know that marches are really the answer, but for me, it's about a substantive redress of what is wrong in our society. Everywhere from, you know, how you treat people who are employed by you to how you treat people in your society to how you relate. If, even learning isiXhosa, like for me, was a big thing. So, you know, I feel disheartened because I think there's sometimes just an attitude that whiteness defines the standards by which everyone else is tolerated until such a time as people realize that this is a society in which every viewpoint needs to be treated as equal and understood and appreciated. We're going to have the same kind of narratives of tolerance and the same kind of idea that you can, you know, you can go to a march, take Instagram pictures of yourself, wear your yoga pants, drink your smoothie, and then go home. You know, just on a last point, and I know you're running out of time, that issue with those young school kids, when Phil Gezel wrote that tweet about saying, you know, if you think of where we come from and where the vast majority of black people are right now, it is unreasonable to think that young black students are not going to be political.
Absolutely.
And that's the real issue, is that people, if you're going to Alex or you're going to Brahm or whatever, and people, you know, Alex in particular, or Soshanguve, people are protesting there not because they want Zuma must fall, because they want water, because they want electricity, because their sanitation systems are failing, because elderly people are having to get people in to bring them water. It's a life or death thing. And that is the heart of this. You know, protesting for white people is an option. For many black people, it's an act of survival. And until you get that, your mentality around the very essence of what it is to protest is going to be very, very skewed.
We're going to leave it there. Breaking news is overtaking our agenda today. Karen, thank you always for being so thoughtful. I really appreciate your coming on. And Makashule, 30 minutes is not enough for this conversation, but I want to credit you for starting something that's very important. I'll retweet it, and I know you're very active on social media. A lot of people are tweeting responses to what you are saying, but thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for the invite, UCBS.